Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app on Android. Recommend Spotify on the Five Reasons YouTube channel on Apple Podcasts. Also check out Off the Floor. That's our Discord server, $2.99 per month. 10 different channels. Communicate with Heat fans. Make suggestions for episodes with us. We do Q&As, all kinds of stuff. Get off of Twitter. Again, $2.99 per month. Off the Floor. Link is right here in the description. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. This episode is sponsored by Valvoline. This is a great program that we got you for the summer. Valvoline Instant Oil Change, with oil changes complete in about 15 minutes. Maintaining your vehicle is just a quick stop on the way to your summer destinations. Click the link in our bio to receive a coupon that saves $8 off Valvoline Full Service Conventional Oil Change or $10 off full service, full synthetic, or diesel oil change. Also can switch out the coupons. Check it out. Again, the link right here in the description, Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Also sponsored by our friend Lynette. She's a member of Off the Floor. Check her out. And insurance by Lynette.com. Two N's and two T's. Life insurance, car insurance. She can handle all kinds of insurance for you based in Lauderhill, services the entire Tri-County area. A aggressive insurance, but the place to go is insurance by Lynette.com. And now, today's episode. Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard. Couple scars. Wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buck said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the role playing. Got an all band. Y'all seen the block. Stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust. It's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat. Y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick and at Five Reasons Sports. I got Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. And I got Brady Hawk. You can follow him at Brady Hawk 305. So a lot of people are excited about this guy, a recent addition to the Miami Heat, who's been showing out in summer league. We're going to talk about the nickname, which is appropriate to that as we go forward here. But first, I want to make sure I'm doing this correctly because I do always do this wrong. It is Keyshawn Johnson. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right, we're ending the podcast here because that's the first time I've actually done that right. But we're going to make you do something, okay? Your friend that you went to college with, who you're now playing with in the summer league, who was a second-round pick of the Miami Heat, could you pronounce his name for us?
Pella Larson.
All right. That's good. That's what Michael told us, right? Isn't that correct? All right, and then the first-round pick, last name Ware. We need a first-name pronunciation.
Khalil Ware.
Oh, my God. Okay. You can be the broadcaster. You're going to replace Eric Reed. All right, so we got Keyshawn Johnson here. And before we go forward, kind of on his path to the Heat and what his role may be going forward, I want to ask you about the nickname, because I know it's part of your social media handles. Did you give yourself the nickname Showtime, or did somebody else give it to you?
Nah, I got the nickname from a couple of my friends in high school. You know, we had a little friend group. Everybody was giving nicknames. And then they just called me Showtime, you know, just based off my God-given talent and my outgoing personality and everything. And it stuck. It had a good ring to it, so I kept it.
Well, we've noticed that the Heat social media has been using you a lot lately. That's usually a sign that somebody's going to play a role in the team. They seem to know. But they also have used you in sort of you speaking to teammates, being very public. Not public, but I mean just – being very vocal in terms of your communication with teammates on the floor, and which obviously is, you know, plays into doing the right things on offense and defense. Have you always been like that on all the teams you played for?
Yeah, I always been like that in life, you know, just trying to be a servant to others, you know, in any which way I could. On the court, that's just my habitat, you know, and I always want to see my teammates win. So whatever I could do to help them win and be successful, you know, whether it's mentally or physically out there on the game, I'm going to try to help them and give my best.
I want to go back to the draft. I can tell you that our group, and especially Greg Sylvander, who's not here right now, had like zeroed in on you as a guy that the Heat were going to take most likely in the second round. Did you anticipate that you were going to be taken at some point in the draft? And did you anticipate that it might be the Heat that you ended up with?
I for sure did. For sure anticipated that I was going to be drafted. You know, there was no doubt in my mind that I was going to be drafted. I did 16 workouts. One team out of 16 teams is going to have to like me. But it's just added to my story, you know, added fuel to the fire and everything. Being able to choose with the two-way contract, Miami Heat was just the most perfect option, the best option for me and everything like that. So, of course, I want to be drafted and everything, but I'm a big believer in Christ, and I believe everything happened for a reason. So I just want to motivate people, you know, aside from the way that politics work and everything, and then just earn that spot on the team.
Keshad, so a lot of us here, like we specifically mentioned you and your teammate at Arizona as far as being like guys who, you know, the Heat would target. And we talked about that on podcast before, you know, the second round of the draft. And now both of you guys are here. What is it like? And I'm sure you've been asked this question already before, but what is it like to be able to now be here with him after spending, you know, the last season together at Arizona? And just how has it been so far?
We just adding on to our journey together, you know, being at Arizona, you can see we both feed off each other. You know, we both provide that spark. You know, he take charges and I'm getting stops, you know, whatever the case may be. We showed that throughout the whole year, the whole last year when we played and everything, that we're not backing down to nobody. We know we both fighters, and you could just see that. You could just see that. And for me to just have that comfortability, knowing that somebody going to run through a wall for me, I'm more than willing to run through the wall back for him, you know, and to just keep adding on to our legacy, just being teammates and our brotherhood is everything I could ask for. And if it's anybody that was to take that pick, I seen the work that Pella put in, me and him practiced and worked out with each other every day at Arizona. So that'd be the only person I want to take that spot.
You mentioned the 16 teams you worked out with, and obviously one of them was Miami. I'm just wondering, how did you felt like that workout went after the fact? And did you kind of have an idea, like you said, about Miami was kind of one of the options on the two-way contract, but did you feel like you put on a show at that specific workout and you feel like they kind of had a liking to you?
I feel like they had a liking to me. Like, humbly speaking, I just feel like the energy that I bring, like, I feel like Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra picked up on the energy that I brought, you know, the effort I played with and everything. We had a good group in that group. We even had Isaiah Stevens in there, you know. Me and Isaiah Stevens, we was on the same team a lot throughout the workout. And, like, just the energy that me and him both brought just by playing the game of basketball, you know. You could see the chip on both our shoulders, you know, and everything. So I feel like Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra, they're like geniuses when it comes to just like who they want and like the guys that they're picking. Like, I'm sure they went back and really took their time and like, okay, I like those guys. I want to see more of those guys. So I feel like I did a good job of doing that, regardless of me scoring the ball, putting the ball in the basket and everything like that. I feel like I showed my other intangibles.
I want to go a little further on that with you, because I think fans like to be taken behind the curtain on like what these workouts are like. So just describe it, because you mentioned Pat, you mentioned Spo. I'm guessing maybe Adam Simon was there. I don't know about Andy Ellisberg, others. But the Heat Brain Trust, they tend to all participate in this and they come to a decision together. So just take us through it from kind of beginning to end. Was that the Heat facility? Like, how does it start? What kind of drills do they put you through? And how do you try to show up? Because as a guy who, it seems like, and we'll get to this more as the podcast goes on, who can kind of plug a lot of holes for a team and do a lot of different things to help you win. How do you make that pop in a workout like that?
There's no real right answer to answer that question on how do you make that pop. You just got to do whatever it takes in that specific moment. So the workout pretty much went like, you know, stretch. You do like little shooting drill that's charted and everything like that. Then you compete. You play one-on-one to the 2-on-2s. It was five people in that group, so it was kind of like odd numbers. So we only got the 2-on-2. Usually you get to 3-on-3, but like we was playing 2-on-2s and everything. And just throughout the whole workout, you know, it's very tiring. You got to be on rep after rep. But you gotta stick to it. And for me, I just try to stick to it. You know, I know it's a job interview. You know, you don't got no time to be tired or fatigued or anything like that. You gotta stick with it. You gotta gotta play. You know, you gotta hoop. You gotta show however much you can. You know, and me gotta try to hit shots and everything. But even if the shot's not falling, I know Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley. They know basketball. They know if somebody just not shooting good in the day. They know how. They not just gonna judge you just off that one day. I don't feel like, but I'm sure they judge people off the eternal feeling that they get from them. You know, and I feel like myself and Isaiah Stevens, like just both of us provided that. You know, along with the other guys that was in a workout too.
So Keshad, I've noticed that on some of your post game interviews, you've mentioned a couple of times that you don't try to go outside of the box too much, and I know sometimes like players look down on that, like, you know. The idea of trying to get, you know, people throwing them into a box and like limiting what they can do. So I found it really interesting that was your perspective on it, in the sense that, like, you know, you mentioned that you just want to help the team win and do whatever is necessary. When you look at that, you know, from that lens, what are the things you bring most? Because we've already seen like a lot of it, right? We've seen the cutting, we've seen the transition attack that you provide, of course, like the lob threats, and then the fact that you, you know, you became a better, you had your best shooting season at Arizona, you know, while also upping the volume. So I think a lot of people are very encouraged by the skill set you bring, the way that you can kind of just fit alongside many lineups, you know, on the Heat in theory. And just, I kind of wanted to get, you know, your perspective on how you feel, you know, as far as what you bring to the table immediately for the Heat.
I ultimately just bring effort, aside from skills, like, I don't just – like, my impact to a team is not my skill set. I feel like my impact to the team is my heart, the heart that I bring, the energy, all the miscellaneous things, you know, just the things that don't show up in a scoreboard or just show up on just like, okay, he's that type of skill set person. Like, you know, I feel like my skill set is rare, you know, but I feel like I perfected – me being an energy guy, me getting rebounds, defensive stops, and things of that nature. So, in terms of just skill set, I like to say that's like the flashy side. I'm not no flashy guy. I'm a hard nosed grinder, you know, gritty person that just likes to get to the grind. So I feel like that's what I bring to the table, to the team.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. These days, all of us are operating in an information technology space. And that is dangerous. And that's why I signed up for Incogni. You can find it at incogni.com. That's incogni.com/5floor. That's FIVEFLOOR, name of this podcast. And you get 60% off an annual plan. Now, why should you do this? Because data brokers are out there creating shadow profiles on you that include a frightening amount of personal details. These insights are then used by scammers, total strangers, insurance companies, banks, businesses, and even the government. You want to avoid the identity theft, the increased costs, and all of the things that come with this. So you got to sign up for Incogni. They will go through the entire process with you and begin that data removal. So again, you can be safer in this online space. So check it out, incogni.com. Again, that's incogni.com/5floor, spelled out 5floor, and you get 60% off an annual plan.
As you talk about that grind, there was a play in yesterday's summer league game. It was like late in the third quarter where you basically switch on to like four different guys and the whole possession ends up like a shot clock violation. I'm just kind of wondering, like, what are you looking at or reading defensively, and like what do you feel like you, like, how would you find your description as a defender? Like, are you kind of a they've had different guys over the years, but like a 1-5, like obviously playing next to Bam, like how do you kind of see yourself at this next level defensively, because you've continued to show it in summer league?
Humbly speaking, I see myself anywhere on a defensive end, you know, just trying to get the job done, whether it's guarding a 1, guarding a 5, you know. I see myself anywhere. Like, whatever the coach try to need done, I'm going to try my best to get it done, you know, and I feel like I got the heart to do it. I feel like it's no real technique on how to be a good defender, you know. You just got to get the job done, you know, whatever it takes, whether it's sliding your feet or whether it's turning your hips and getting to a sprint, you know, that you got to just do what it takes to get the job done.
Besides, a lot of times these scouting reports come out on players and the player doesn't have a chance to really respond to them until they can do it on the court, right? Like until they get into a certain situation and say, I could be more than you thought I was, or I have a certain skill that you didn't think I had. I just want to read you something. This was actually published in Bleep Sports Illustrated, so I want to give them the correct credit. And they actually, it's a pretty in-depth scouting report that they did on you. It might have been late last season with Arizona or prior to the draft. And I just want to get your thoughts on it as I go forward and some of the comps that were made in here. So it's a long scouting report, but then it gets to a conclusion. Excuse me. So I'll just start there. The strength four archetype popularized by Adam Spinella, who's actually someone we've had on the podcast who does a lot of draft evaluation, consists of players like PJ Tucker, Robert Covington, Grant Williams, Jay Crowder, and Dorian Finney-Smith. By the way, two of those have played for the Heat and played big roles for the Heat, and feels like they've been in on the other three over the years. All of these players are stronger defensive first fours with size that are excellent on ball defenders, smart off ball defenders, have some level of catch and shoot impact in the NBA, and have high role acceptance. While not the flashiest archetype, that's 6'7", 215, a developing catch and shoot three, strong on ball defense, and helpful off ball defense, Johnson has a high likelihood of meeting the same archetype that is seen fairly consistently on championship level teams. Do you feel that would be a fair description of kind of what you're bringing to the table here?
I would say that's very much fair. You know, each one of those guys, as you can see on the film, they affect winning in some type of way, you know, and I feel like I do affect winning in those situations, but I just want to be the best Keyshawn version of Keyshawn Johnson. You know, I feel like I'm very very athletic, you know, along the lines, you know, I feel like my athleticism is my God-given talent. You know, I feel like that kind of go a little under the radar, how much work I put in into just being athletic, being able to jump and fly and everything like that, and make like spectacular plays in a sense. But over the course of years, those guys made wonderful impacts to winning programs, you know. They were able to take advantage of all the opportunities. So I feel like that's a good mold, you know, just knowing yourself, knowing who you are. I feel like each one of those guys know their role. And of course, coming to the NBA, I would have to know my role. So I don't see that as a bad comparison at all.
I mean, you mentioned the athleticism. I mean, you did, what were you, tied for the highest vert? Basically, was it 42 inches, I believe? I saw. Does that surprise people, do you think? Because again, you do kind of portray yourself as like a, you know, plug in the gaps type of player, and then like you're soaring above the rim.
Yeah. I have got a couple of times, like, I knew you had bounce, but I didn't know you. It was like that until I seen the person. Like, I heard that a couple of times and everything like that. But I just want to just keep being able to put on a show. You know, basketball, it's a game at the end of the day. It's a game. And it got to be some type of fun to it, some type of little razzle-dazzle and everything like that. So I just try to take advantage of all my opportunities every time I get a chance and everything. But, just try to show my God-given talent.
I'm going to let these guys jump in here in a second. I just got one more here. And because you mentioned, again, Miami being the perfect situation. And we've seen over the years what they've done with undrafted guys, with the right undrafted guys. I mean, you go all the way back. This has been a long – I mean, we just saw Anthony Carter's son get drafted in the top 10. I mean, literally, Anthony Carter was one of the Heat's undrafted guys. I mean, this goes back so far. But in recent years, I mean, whether it's Duncan Robinson, you know, becoming an elite shooter in the NBA, or Max Strus, kind of following Duncan and then getting paid in Cleveland, Gabe Vincent, Caleb Martin, who we just, you know, saw his situation play out, and then obviously Haywood Highsmith, who they've re-signed. I mean, there's a long line of these guys. When you were discussing this with your agent, is this one of these things that's like, okay, get me there because it's a good fit, but also they know what they're doing with guys like me who bring particular skill sets?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You pretty much said it yourself. Me and my agent, like my agent, he wouldn't be my agent if he didn't know me. So I feel like he knew me. He's familiar with just the Heat and how they make the right decisions out of the right reasons and everything like that. So I'm a Heat coach of God. I believe I'm a Heat coach of God, but just to really get specific with it, like he see me as more than just a basketball player too. Like, not just him himself, but I also see myself as more than just a basketball player. Just trying to have an impact into any culture that I have, community. You know, Udonis Haslem, he's done a great job around our community in Miami. So, just trying to just have an impact. You know, if I could mimic that or learn from him, just by giving back. You know, paying it forward. Aside from basketball, and to do that in a community like Miami, that'd be all I hope for. You know, I feel like that's my calling to just do things outside of basketball as well as be effective on the court within the organization.
So another thing I wanted to ask you, right? Like, we've already been talking about your leaping ability, and you know that's going to be really exciting for Heat fans because it's something that's kind of been missing from the team since, I don't know, maybe like Derrick Jones Jr. like five seasons ago. Just having somebody who can jump out of the building like that and really get the crowd going. Also, the Heat really like very much need the help in transition. So I think people are going to appreciate what you bring there. But as other than like the leaping ability and the way that your athleticism shows off there, something else I've been really intrigued with when watching you play, you know, we talk about filling in the gaps, but one of the gaps that like a lot of people simply can't do that you can with your athleticism, it very much feels like a functional thing where it's like you're getting these deflections. You know, like the other day, I think you deflected one that, like, off the inbounder, and you were guarding the inbounder, and it was very much like I've seen you deflect that. I've seen them. I mean, you deflect like normal passes, basic passes that, you know, anybody thinks, you know, can go through. It's not a bad pass. Like, you get your hands on a lot, right? And I think, and a lot of times it's unorthodox because people don't really see it coming. Like, you have the combination of length, athleticism, and strength. And I think that kind of throws people off, and it very much feels like kind of like a secret weapon here. How much have the Heat talked to you about that part, like the defensive playmaking part of your athleticism, and you know, how much are you looking to bring as far as that part of your game?
You know, the Heat says a lot about it, but it's nothing that I haven't already been told. But being here with the Heat organization around Coach Dan and the other guys on the staff, like, I know, like, me coming into the NBA, I got to be good at something, you know. I'm not going to come in and be the go-to guy on the offensive end. And I know that, of course, but I got to try to find some way to be a winner, So, I got to already perfect what I'm already good at. You know, I feel like I'm already good at just making plays like that happen, getting a lot of deflection and things of that nature. So just try to perfect what I'm good at, being the best person I can be in any way I need to.
All right, I'm going to let Brady close this up. I know you got to get somewhere. Keyshawn, hey. Appreciate it. Oh, my God, look at that. Man. Man. We got a Jay Rich sighting in the back. Well,
see,
okay.
That's another guy that had an impact on winning, you know. Josh, he do whatever it takes, you know. So just being around this Heat culture, you know, it's a lot of guys that's been overlooked, but they prove that they're here and they got that grit, you know. Josh coming around, I'm gonna learn from him as my time coming around. I'm gonna learn from all these guys.
I'll close here. Are there any other guys?
Yeah,
are there any other guys on the team now?
That's it.
Everybody. It's a real brotherhood around here. So everybody, there's no egos going around. We all down to earth. I could go to any one of these guys that got major contracts and everything, and they're all accessible. So I'm going to try to use all my resources and get as much knowledge from them as possible.
All right. Well, we appreciate it. Actually, we should have dragged Josh on here to talk about the Argentina-Colombia match, because I know his head's probably in soccer right now, or FIFA, or DJing or something. But obviously, we've enjoyed covering him over the years, and we will definitely enjoy covering you. I'll just close with this one. Have you got to talk to Bam at any point? He seems a little busy these days, but has he communicated with you or any of the other summer league guys?
No, I haven't got the chance to talk to Bam, but I heard a lot of good things about Bam along with the other guys that's part of this organization. So, like I said, they all seem down to earth, and you know, I'm like a sponge, so I'm gonna just try to soak it all in.
All right. Well, don't let the other guy charge you $20 for coffee. That's all we're going to say. All right. Keyshawn Johnson, we appreciate it. I know people are really excited to see more from you, and we'll obviously catch up with you when you get back to Miami, or actually the Bahamas before Miami, before the season starts. Thanks a lot for doing this.
Appreciate that.